Hi, and welcome to Speaking from Experience, Real Talk for Real Women with Melody Jones and myself, Kem Duggan. So how are you doing today, Melody, with all of the wonderful being at home and having everybody under one roof during this very interesting time in our history?
Oh, that's true. Are you talking about the pandemic shut-in that we're shut-in syndrome, pandemic shut-in syndrome? I just made that up.
Yeah, or sometimes I'll refer to it as, let's not overwhelm our hospitals and keep our healthcare workers from getting sick.
Sometimes I like to say, let's flatten that curve and save lives, and that's why we're here. Woo! And I'm trying to remember that when I am in competition for the coffee pot, that I, who work from home and have had a home office for many years, I now am in competition for the coffee pot because the person that I live with is a coffee junkie himself. And so we're out there trying to find some more coffee. And let me tell you something else, you can't get coffee. It's very hard to get coffee. And I finally had to order some. And so Prime delivery, which is usually 2 days, is 5 or 6 days. And I said, you be careful on the coffee. We won't have enough to get through because we're not getting delivery until Sunday. And I made sure I did it on Wednesday. So we have a little coffee competition going on around here. Luckily, once he wakes up, he's like, I'll use this instant. And I'm like, yes, you will. You sure will.
So you will use me.
That's what's happening here. And there's more, but carry on. What's happening for you?
Oh, okay. So I am so grateful I don't have a coffee competition going on in my house. Because as of right now in my life, I'm the only one that drinks the coffee. And I love my coffee. I'm like that too. It's life enhancing for me to have coffee.
Indeed. And, yes. That's a good way to say it.
Yes. And then, and now I say right now, because I do have a child in the house that may decide that, you know, that's getting old enough to where she might decide that she's going to drink coffee.
She should.
Yeah. Right. Here's the interesting thing that's happening on my end. And I'm like, oh my God, when this happened this morning, I'm thinking every person who has a home, who works from home, has their own office at home. And even a parent who is the one that has to handle the routine every morning is going to get this. So this morning I'm getting ready and, and I've had a leg injury, so things are moving a little bit slower, but I'm getting ready and I've got everybody home and we're homeschoolers now. So
I like
that's fun.
Big wide smile on your face this very second.
Right? That's fun. And so keeping a routine when both my daughter and I are naturally night owls, like my best working time, like if I want to sit down and really get into creation, it's between 7 p.m. and 3 o'clock in the morning. So maintaining a routine and, you know, I'm getting ready. And so I thought, you know what? I have spent over a decade getting another human being and myself ready to go in the morning. I've spent five years of that decade, or more than a decade, the last 5 years, getting another human being ready in the morning and out the door. And by the way, remembering to go let the chickens out.
Because you have chickens, because you're a backyard chicken farmer.
Yeah. And so, okay, so I'm just painting the picture. Well, this morning, you know, so I've gladly allowed my husband to take over this, you know, because why not, right? Yeah. It helped me to be able to focus. So this morning, I'm sitting on my bed and I'm finishing, you know, the face before I have to be on camera with clients. And I said, oh, by the way, don't forget to let the chickens out, you know, because I could hear the rooster. He was going off.
Yeah.
And my husband, you know, I hear him walk halfway down the hallway and come back, and I'm thinking, you know, he was just going to grab something or forgot something. And he goes, I don't know what you're going to do when everything goes back to normal. And I just looked at him, and you guys, this is the moment. This is the moment. And I swear, I know every person who has worked from home, every person who has kids that they're responsible for getting up and getting another right. living being out the door in the morning, or several, if you have several, and has, you know, farm-ish life going on. Everyone can relate to this. I looked at him, and I won't say the mental explosion I had in the moment in my head. And I just smiled and I said, just like I have for over a decade. I'll just do it like I have for over a decade.
I'm pretty sure it's like riding a bike, honey. I've got it figured out. It's weird. I'll just go back to that routine that I established 10 years ago plus.
Right? Exactly. I'm like, what does he think? And then this is the other thing, and I'm sure you've experienced this with the whole having a home office, is have you, you know, it's that moment when you realize that, or that thought that runs through your head, what do they think I do all day?
Yeah, that's right. We need to make a meme and put it on our Facebook page. And the Facebook, you know that meme I'm talking about, where it's like what other people think I do, what society thinks I do, what my husband thinks I do, what I really do. Which is, you know, you try to focus on working your business, and in the meantime, you're like, Mom, where's my socks? Mom, where's my homework? Oh.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it was a funny, I'm like, what does he actually think? I mean, like, and I know, because I've worked with so many business women, you've experienced, you've heard it from other business people. I know that it was one of those moments that just kind of smacks you in the forehead and goes, huh, I wonder what he's going to do all day.
Yeah, you're a meme. There's a meme in your house right this minute.
Yeah, I know. Does he, right? Exactly. I have a walking meme.
You have a walking meme going on.
Does he think I'm on Pinterest all day? I've been on Pinterest more since we've been home. Anyways,
because, go ahead. That's right. Because we are in pandemic shut-in syndrome, saving lives, flattening curves right now. And my curves are not flat. They're still, they might expand if I have to stay shut in very much longer. But anyway, I digress. I think a lot of people are just about to say Netflix and chill, and I'm like, but if you Netflix and chill too much, the chilling part can lead to a couple of pounds weight gain, and I'm not the only one worried about that. So I'm seeing that as a pandemic problem, potentially, because you're just not out doing your normal stuff. So things are odd. And then, you know, you and I, and people who work from home rely on things like internet, you know, to work correctly. And so I pay high-speed internet where I live because my day job is, you know, is social media type stuff. So this is my job, is to be able to be on the internet. Well, my dearly beloved had to also use the internet and all the bandwidth yesterday. And that made me have to, because we talk about pivot, don't we? You and I talk about pivoting.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be flexible. You have to pivot. So I had to pivot yesterday. And I don't mind saying my partner in crime here, Kim, was one of the ones that allowed me to pivot, because I had to say, hey, we're gonna have to do things differently because we had plans.
Oh yeah.
And that's because my beloved had to also work from home, and they, as all people are using Zoom or something. You know, I think they use Zoom to get on there. So that's another thing I'm finding, is that I'm in competition for the resources I need to run my business that I'm used to having, you know, free reign with all day long, just as much as I want, including Netflix and chill, if I feel like that's what I want to do with, by the way, I don't, people, in the business day, but I could, because see, I'm just here by myself. And that's, mm-hmm. So you probably, and who did I hear? Oh, I talked to a colleague of mine who has a husband and two children who are now doing the homeschooling thing. And all four of them need to get on to their, you know, to their internet at the same time. And it has been quite the pandemic thing to deal with for them. And I'm sure you've experienced something similar.
Kind of. It depends on what's happening. Mm-hmm. In the household, but kind of, I will give, because we're, you know, the company that we have out here, on that level so far hasn't been jinky. Doesn't mean that they won't, they just get jinky when we have tons of rain, and then all of a sudden the internet connection is, you know, pausing and stuff. And I don't know why, but that's when it gets jinky over here. But,
wow.
But yeah, it's, I can imagine there's the name of the game for me is flexible. Yep,
that's right.
And flexibility. And so that's the name of the game. And that's the part that is, wow, you know.
For everybody. I mean, I think you know, that whole speaking from experience theme we've got going on in this podcast, we're speaking from current experience, and everybody's experiencing similar things, no matter what their life is, having to be very flexible. And I don't know, I'm sure our listeners can feel this. There are many people out of work. I mean, it's a big, you talk about flexibility, there's lots and lots of really serious changes going on right now for people. And so, yes. Major flexibility, and I wasn't a gymnast in the day, but I'm finding that I'm going to have to, you know, I have to, you know, flexible gymnastics, mental gymnastics, and whatever it takes is what you've got to do to make this work. And people are having to deal with that right now. And I don't know. I've even had to be flexible with anxiety levels. I don't know if you experience those. I'm sure you do, as do as everybody. Like, this is worldwide, a lot of anxiety, you know, and handling that. So you almost have to be flexible with allowing the anxiety to be what it is and then dealing with it. That's what I'm finding, is even flexibility in your reactions and forgiveness for yourself and having a little grace that we're in unusual, weird times. You and I were talking another time that neither one of us have experienced in our lifetimes anything like this. And let's forgive ourselves. Let's have some grace for the emotions that are coming up. It's a serious thing going on.
Right. Well, that's part of check, like, it's like, how you doing out there in pandemic land? How are you handling all this?
That's right.
And it's being flexible, and it's taking, you know, I have a lot of clients who span all kinds of economic success, you know, and whether you're at the 5-figure level or the 8-figure level. And, I'm telling you, the fear out there is humanistic. It's the same. People who are at the 5-figure level, and I have people who are at the 8-figure level that are concerned and worried and experiencing waves of, you know, of the anxiety and all that that's coming up. And the thing is, you know, so one of the tips that I would like to give today is just like going to the doctor. Like, when I work with my clients who have somebody, or they themselves have a possible scary diet, like they're having to take
a physical,
some kind of scary diet. And it's, you know what? It's information. It's all information. So in what's going out there in the ever-changing information, what I'm seeing is producing a lot of anxiety. People who watch the stock market have been like, you know, there's even people who are concerned about, okay, great, there's a $2.2 trillion bill going through for the relief or whatever. What is that going to mean for us on the back end? And they're worrying about the back end of that. And here's the thing, it's all information. That's how I kind of look at it. That's how I mentally flex is,
right?
And flex the anxiety is, you know what, this is information. Just like if a doctor says, you know, this is what's happening and this is what I think you should do or whatever. Okay, great. It's information. Let me take that and I'm going to go over here and assimilate it. And I might decide to have a glass of wine while I assimilate it, but I'm going to go assimilate it, you know?
Well, apparently I won't be having coffee because somebody else drank it, but hey.
I'm sorry. If I could, I would share my coffee with you.
If there was a way to do it.
Yeah. But it's that worry and that concern. It's that unknown. Are you finding because we haven't been here before.
And well,
not we are so connected globally.
Yes. More so, you know, more so than the Spanish influenza times and other times, more so than World War II, where the rations came in and everybody did have to cut back. I mean, there are other times in history where, you know, something kind of like this has happened. There's some differences because, of course, we're much more connected worldwide due to technology than we ever have been in the history of the man as we know it, right? We have never been connected like this. And so, not to this degree where I know what's happening in Italy and that the swans have returned to the canals of Venice, I wouldn't have, you know,
right.
know that, because technology is that fast, right? It's quick.
Right. And the spread of this has been, to me, more permeable because of the level of travel that people yes. do now versus yeah. in history, historically.
That's right. That historically, yeah. and it's just easier to travel and kind of even in some ways faster. And I guess one of the main concerns, because it, and it relates to what you're saying, that I find myself and the women I work with dealing with is that there is such an incredible amount, I'm going to say an avalanche of information coming in 24/7. Yes. The problem yeah. is a lot of it is misinformation for whatever reason, just talking heads are out there saying whatever they're saying, and it isn't always accurate. And so there's a lot of fear around the common man or woman trying to filter what's real, what isn't, what do we need to be worried about and what we don't. And so one of the tips I've mm-hmm. given, and I know you echo, is go to reputable sources when it comes to what's going on right now with pandemic stuff. Go to reputable sources, go to the CDC, find out what's really happening with the disease part of what's happening. Go to your local government to find out what they're saying. Here in Colorado, we're on complete shutdown. I don't know what's happening where you live, but that all just came down this week. I knew it was coming. This was not a big shock to me. And And then I saw just on social media, a lot of misinformation and confusion on what can we and can we not do? What are they requesting of us? And so a lot of that was even spread there. Well, I just went to the government that I live in, which is actually Jeffco, Jefferson County, Lakewood, which is right next to Denver. And I looked it up. I'm like, okay, what are the essential services? What is it that you can be out doing? It's not martial law. I see people, you know, getting really panicky. Yeah, it's not martial law people, but they are saying, can we flatten that curve? That's a real thing. Can we stop going out and spreading this around? You don't know if you have it because you don't know for many days if you have it. And it stays on services. This is a really odd, unique, weird disease that just popped up and here we are, and it's so easy to spread. That's what we're trying to contain. And and so that's what I've had to do to sort of get a handle on my own anxiety, is find out what is the truest information I can find out right now. Mm-hmm. And then I don't overdo it all day long. Instead, I find humor, because you have to. I know it's awful. I know people are losing jobs, money, people are dying from all this. There's some really, really serious stuff out there, and we can acknowledge that, grieve it, talk about it, support each other with it, and then have some humor about it. So on my social media, I pass along all the humor stuff, because listen, we have to have humor around the lack of toilet paper. We have to have, you know, you're just going to have to find it. And that's another coping mechanism that I will throw out there that I use for me, is finding the humor where I can. I'm not hurting anybody by having humor in the ways that I have. This is just funny mm-hmm. stuff, and it's entertaining. You kind of need to take the brain, the way the human brain works, and entertain past the trauma that's occurring right now, past the anxiety. Let's think about anything else. Let's talk about something funny. Let's talk about something yeah. else meaningful besides the current stuff that's going on. And that doesn't right. mean we don't ever talk about it. It just means you don't need to talk about it 24/7 and like kill your soul, basically.
Well, and that's, I absolutely agree. And that's part of the thing that I see going on. So another thing to be aware of is, I totally agree with everything that you said about the humor piece. I mean, I gravitate to that. I look for that. You know what I love about on the humor side of things or on the entertainment side of things? I love all of these different celebrities, like Jean-Luc Picard. What's his name? You know, I saw
Patrick Stewart. I totally know who that is. Patrick Stewart. I saw something he was doing. Let's see if you saw the same thing.
Yeah, well, I only got to click on it for a second before I got interrupted, but he was reading something. I can't remember what it was.
Shakespeare,
that's right.
Yes.
I love, that's the thing that I love is, you know, Josh Gad did a reading on Twitter, and Ryan Reynolds, oh my God,
super Ryan funny. Reynolds.
If you want a movie to watch that makes you laugh, watch Just Friends.
I've not seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen Just Friends?
No.
It's like 20 years old. It is so funny.
Maybe I have, and I don't remember. Okay.
The physical comedy alone has Anna Faris in it, and I can't remember the other people, but they're all great actors. And it's just, I mean, I can just like with Friends, I can sit down and I can watch that movie and laugh. Just like you know, there's certain episodes of Friends where you know you're gonna still laugh. I still laugh at all of them, but anyhow. So the thing is, yes, the funny stuff, the things that give your brain that part of there, because there's a part of our brain, you know, some people call it the left brain, some people call it our primitive brain, whatever you want to call it, that is actual physically wired this way to chew on.
Yes.
The fear.
That's right.
Long ago, the fear is what kept us alive. Is chewing on being around all the corners.
It's the hyper vigilance, like being on alert all the time.
Right. And see, that worked well for us. That is what has kept us alive. But now, because we don't have to worry about like hunting and gathering and whether or not our prey is going to kill us, then it's more we tend to chew. What I've noticed, and I'm not a scientist, I'm not a brain, you know, neuroscientist or whatever, but what I've noticed is a lot of anxiety for people tends to come from chewing on the what ifs. And you're right. There's so much really not good, not real information out there.
Yeah.
Pages I follow are my county pages, my county police, my surrounding counties, my state government, and the CDC. Those are the pages that I look to for concrete information. That's what I do. And I listen to that stuff. I look for clear information. There was a, and I don't know if you're okay with me saying this because I didn't ask you. I didn't think to ask you.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. The Red Table Talk that Jada Pinkett Smith does with, they did an episode with Will, and like the family was around the table, but they had a CDC person on there.
Oh.
And that information I felt was really good. Really good, solid, basic information. So, and it was the episode that was, you know, like, what do you do? Answering questions about the thing that's going on, the pandemic. So it's those things. But the other thing is, you know, on the empathic intuitive side.
Mm-hmm. Your specialty.
Tell me if you've been feeling this, or if you've had people, it's that way. I've had so many people, and I talked about this in the Ask Me Anything About, I've had so many people, like almost verbatim, daily, say, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden I feel anxious.
Yes, I've had that experience. I'm just going to hazard a guess. It's a global experience. If people really pay attention, if they really pay attention to, you know, they're in the moment, like, how am I feeling? And then realize when that wave hits that they weren't feeling that a minute ago and now they are. So what's happening? And I bet they're questioning that. And I'm sure you have some great intuition on that, what that's about.
It's that collective consciousness.
Yeah, I thought so too.
If you guys pay attention, we're all connected. Intuitively, we're all connected, and those who are higher functioning, I guess, higher conscious intuitives or empaths, you know, have higher level empathic ability, higher level. I don't like using the word level.
More advanced, more conscious. Okay.
Of their empathic abilities and how they work for them. You are actually more empathic in general. What they're feeling is they're feeling that wave that's going through the collective conscious. So my thing to you and to anybody that's listening is, if you feel that wave of I'm fine, and then all of a sudden I feel highly anxious.
Yeah.
I just notice, okay, did a news conference just hit in my area? Did I just talk to somebody who was expressing anxiety? You know, like what you may be picking up or most likely are picking up on other stuff.
That makes sense to me. And I just have to tell you the visual I got when you said that. You know how you do the wave? You know how you do the wave at a football game? Everybody goes up and do the waves at a baseball game.
Yeah.
I just pictured the earth I really did, sitting out there in space, the big blue marble and this wave, and it just keeps circling the globe, and it's just the wave, and it's the same wave, and it just keeps going around, and we just keep picking up on it periodically.
Yeah.
I mean, is that accurate? This is just what my brain just
I think that's a very good visual representation. Okay. And it'll happen in local communities, and it'll happen globally. I mean, it's just, and it is, it's the collective consciousness responding to the uncertainty of where we're at.
It's uncertain times. These are unprecedented times in so many different ways. It's, like we've talked about before, it's you can hearken back to other times when we had something, but there's just other issues along with this time. And, you know, the time that we're in is different than the times we were in before when we've had pandemics and worldwide issues. And we have so much more even to deal with now because technology, bless it, you and I wouldn't be on here without it, but also with it is all this, you know, all this information and just a flood of stuff all the time. So so yay for connection and oh my gosh for connection. Yay and oh my God, stop connecting.
I know. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of how it is. It's a double-edged thing. And, you know, and I truly feel that there are so many positives that are going to come out of this.
Oh, let's talk positives.
Yeah. And that's part of the mindset thing. So, you know, this is, and I'd love to know what you're doing to keep other things that you might be doing to keep your mindset. It's seeing that there's, even though we're more connected technologically than we've ever been in the history of this planet of humanity, it's also seeing how people are reconnecting.
I agree. You
know? Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, and you guys, if you have people that you know are by themselves, connect with them. A 5-minute phone call, it doesn't have to be 3 hours. Mm-mm. Connect with them. It can do a world of good. The other thing is what you pointed out earlier. I like my heart just sang when I saw the fish in the Venice canals.
Oh my gosh, that was my favorite thing.
And you know what? You know what I'm hoping, holding my finger, crossing my fingers for?
What's that?
I'm crossing my fingers for that we will start getting reports that people are seeing bees. That the bees.
Would that be something?
Yeah, I think you know because I just think there's so many wonderful lessons that we can take from this, and hopefully, as a humanity, new. More conscious industries will come out of it.
Or the industries we have will just become more conscious and stay that way.
Right.
Keep that consciousness going. That's where there can be some failure. Not to use the F word. But a lot of times, but it's true. Consciousness is raised, but we don't keep it up. We don't make a conscious effort to keep the consciousness where we became aware of it, and it'll fall back down. So I'm hoping that we as a world will keep our consciousness at a higher level about how we impact, you know, the earth, which is what you're talking about, and really make, you know, concerted effort to continue those improvements, because it's amazing how fast nature has rebounded with less intrusion from humans. It's, you know, reduced pollution in China, the return of wildlife. And here, I just saw a story in Colorado that there's mountain lions strolling through towns. Now, we are not, you know, we're used to, in Colorado, mountain towns seeing wildlife. You remember when you lived here that you probably yourself saw stuff. You could see, there's elk and deer, and I see it all the time. Now there's mountain lions who are traditionally a little more shy of humans are now strolling through town, and they were trying to decide in this little mountain town, are they strolling through town because there's fewer humans out? And I tend to think, yes, that is why. And so my heart I was so thrilled to see these reports come in about the improvement in our earth and in the natural rhythms going out there. And that's one thing. And then from a human perspective, I have loved seeing some really creative ways to connect. Of course, everybody knows the story about people in Italy singing together out their windows. Have you seen that story where everybody got together and they sang? So there's that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But also something I saw happening in the United States is there's people are having happy hours. They're just having it 6 feet away on the sidewalk or on their yards in their, you know, in their lawn chairs, and they're still getting, and they're keeping their distance as they need to, at least 6 feet, but they're having happy hours and they're talking back and forth and they're talking more over fences. And so it's not even just like what you were saying is call your neighbor, call your people, get on the phone. That's true. But also you can also talk, you know, across your sidewalk and across your fence to people. And I've seen a more concerted effort for people to connect that way. And then because I live in the world of technology more than some people, I'm seeing lots and lots more interaction virtually. People are making an actual effort to connect, you know, just like we are today. For people who don't know, we're actually on Zoom right now, looking at each other face to face, because it's so much easier to have a conversation when you can see the person. And don't you think? And I've noticed that that's true. I was thinking about hosting, I might still do this, a virtual happy hour. I was thinking about hosting a virtual happy hour on my Facebook and just saying, hey, come on if you want. Let's just have a little virtual happy hour, a little something, something. Let's connect and tell me what's up with you. So people are making, I guess the one of the good things I'm seeing is people are making extra effort to connect, and you don't always see that. So I think that's one of the, you know, the positives. And then as far as, you know, talking about more positives, one of the ones I do want to bring up is learning to see the time we have as a gift. You suddenly have this gift of time. Are you using it to be anxious and huddled in your house? Which it's okay if you are. It's about, can you recover up from that? Can you step out of that anxiety? Can you step out of the, you know, the depression and things you may be feeling, and see the time you're having as a gift? And with that gift, what can you do? Mm-hmm. So what I did, and I know you saw me post this, is I made origami flowers. So there you go. I just had some origami paper. I'm like, look at all this stuff I have. I made some origami flowers with some of the time I had. Are there things you can do that you've been meaning to do, that you've put off doing, that you can be more detailed with? Do you want to learn how to bake that cake? Do you want to paint the, you know, what can you do within your own environment where you can improve your environment? Or do you want to read those 5 books stacked on your table? I'm just saying, it's an imperfect time we're in, but there is the gift within the pandemic. There's some gifts, and nature's one we talked about. And then the other gift to me is the gift of time. And so while we're making jokes about how super fun it can be to be all cooped up with your significant other and children all the time, we know that there are, that's hard. But is there a gift within that? There is. This is your time to connect more fully with your people. And then you will be super thankful when the time comes that everybody can leave and go about their business, and you can get back to having the space that we're all used to having. In the meantime, though, it's a gift. So that's that would be my other piece of wisdom, thoughtful wisdom, thoughtful melody wisdom is what I'm going to call it.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly it. I mean, because that's I've talked about that as well. The gift of time, because it's in, you know, on the Thursday night thing that I do, I spoke about how, so I absolutely agree with that, because I spoke about how, how we've always, you know, when you've got your someday list, or when I have more time list, I will, this is a great time. This is awesome. And include the family in it, you know,
why not?
One of the things I've got going on at my house is the Purge Project. And I had started the Purge Project before all of this happened. And I had it, I was so proud of myself. I had it calendared out.
Purging the doors.
So I could feel, So I could feel like I was making consistent progress, which is important to me. It's important in business. It's important in life to feel like you're making consistent progress, because that way you can feel productive. And that's
listen, tracking stuff like that is very valuable. Didn't mean to interrupt, but I agree with that.
Exactly. Well, and that's how you stay out of anxiety. That's another anxiety killer. Is to be productive and be connected, and so in your routine and stuff like that. So when all of that happened, because I the same time that they decided to send, close the schools. And, you know, I have a child that goes to school and I have my husband that's in the school district.
Right.
I also hurt my leg. And Yeah. All of that happened in 24 hours.
I'm sure you can see the gift in the hurt leg. Darn it, it's there.
You know what the gift has been?
What has the gift been in the hurt leg?
I have wanted to make little angels, little crocheted angels and stars and snowflakes.
Oh!
Ornaments
to put on. Can I put my order in?
Sure. Absolutely. And I've been wanting to make those for years. And because I can't be up for very long, because I found out yesterday, this is like a 4-week ordeal that I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
Because I can't be up for very long without going back into certain levels of pain that I can't put, that creates 4-letter words. I decided, okay, I'm going to crochet. And I started making the angels and the stars. And they're so cool. I haven't, like, finished the whole, like, you have to, like, do a stiffener on them to make them.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I haven't finished that part, but I've started. And I'm like, these are really cool. And the really cool thing is Elizabeth wanted to start learning how to crochet. So she's crocheting her own afghan out of Chanel yarn.
Yeah.
That, by the way, I already had. I didn't go out and.
That's right. By the way, use what you have in your house, people. Okay.
Yeah. But here's the thing. So I'm sorry. I got off on a tangent. So here's the thing. So we're continuing the Purge Project, and I'm involving them in it.
Right.
And you know, it's going to be the Purge Project, which is what goes to donation, what is ready to like be returned to the earth, and what is what can be, you know, upcycled. So
upcycled. That's right.
We get a whole month or maybe even more, because I have a feeling if we're smart that maybe we'll have a couple, it won't just be April. I'm really hoping that our governments are smart and really allow all of this to settle before they say, okay,
there's an energetic clearing that you're doing too, as we know, by doing the purging thing is, as we know it, you create space, more abundance comes in if you create the space for it, if you create the space to receive. And let me just tell you, for those listeners out there, Kim is the one that taught me that many years ago, if you create the space, and we're talking, yay, Kim, the teacher. And I've never forgotten it. Doesn't mean I always apply it, but damn it. I just cussed on the thing anyway. So if you create space, so here's what I've heard from Kim consistently over the years. And I try to incorporate that is you create space in lots of different ways, mental space by clearing out the anxiety and depression and doing what you can that way. You're clearing space for abundance to come in and grace to come in. And same with physical environments. If you clean out that which you do not love, and I don't mean necessarily as far as Marie Kondo says, you know, what does she say? 10 books. I'm like, who the hell are you, lady? Nah. How about 50 books? Because why? They bring me joy. But I'm just, I don't know what she says, guys. Whoever's listening, that may not be quite right. But I know it's not many books. Let me just put it that way. Okay. But clearing that space in such a way as whatever bothers you and takes your energy, like that pile of laundry over there, those boxes you never unpacked, et cetera, what can you do about that? How can you clear that space? And so when you're saying Purge Project, I'm like, yeah. Energetically, you're also clearing the way, which is what, if you think about it in a really global perspective, the pandemic is kind of clearing some stagnant energy, and it's doing it in a way that's really, really hard to swallow and tough on people, and there's some serious things happening. At the end of it, some clearing will have happened, and I just mean energetically, energetic clearing. And maybe we can refresh ourselves as a human race and rise up out of it. You know, rise up is my theme, as you know. So
exactly.
There you go.
I think so. And thank you for that, Melody. I think so too. I think it's about looking at where the gifts are in this, during this. It's about it's about being mindful and not creating more work for our healthcare workers.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And and giving them as much support as we can. And some of, you know, one of the easiest ways to do that is to make sure that you're following guidelines and being safe and healthy for yourself. Because you know what? And I know we need to wrap up. One of the things that that keeps me, stays at the forefront of my mind, is I don't want anything that I do during this time to lead to somebody else being in the hospital in a serious situation and not have a loved one there. Because that's
all.
That to me is just one of those things that just gets me in my heart. And so, you know, it's about what can you do with this gift of time? It's about being mindful of staying the course with what we're being asked to do and finding the fun in it. You know, finding the fun in, like, for us, it's going to be the purge. Well, I say fun. It'll be fun for me. I don't know how much fun.
I'm wondering if the daughter will think it's fun.
It's crocheting angels.
That's
fun. And snowflakes and something that resembled a star. I think I did it right. it's all of those things. So, and like for you, it's doing the origami. What was it?
Flowers. Yeah. I do a lot of paper crafts and getting kind of back to some of that. I think, and I want our listeners to know, when I say there's a clearing of energy, that that's what the pandemic is going to do. I don't take that lightly when I say that. This is just me looking at a really global perspective. In the meantime, we have first responders and people on the front line out there, police, medical, healthcare workers, social workers. There's lots of people on the front line out there that have no choice but to be out in the world and to try to do what they can to help other people. And some of them are paying a really high price for that. So I don't take that lightly. And it does hurt my heart to see these things happening. And so it's really important right now that with our gift of time, what can we do? What can we do to help support, you know, the system that we have in place? And you talked about making sure that we're not putting a further burden on the healthcare system. And that's absolutely true. I mean, they're short on supplies as it is. And I'm certainly not, you know, I can flatten that curve, so to speak. That's the phrase I'm seeing out there, by not, you know, going out there, by not interacting with people, and they're, you know, maybe inadvertently spreading this thing to others in some way. And I want to know that I have done my part with that as well. So I think in this household, we're okay. Now, my guy works in a facility that deals with families, that helps families with small children. And so he's in the social work field, and he does have to be out there. So he you know, he practices as best he can, but he is out today passing out food to needy families because somebody has to do it. And that's his job and also his heart. So, and so I uphold, you know, my former career, as you know, was in social work. I uphold all of those still out there on the front line, helping other people navigate these times. And with the gift of time, here we are. And what we can do is talk together like this and offer some hope and offer some, you know, piece of advice. Take what fits you, leave the rest behind. And that's what we can do here on Speaking from Experience.
Yeah, that is. And I appreciate all of that. And I echo that too. I think about those who aren't experiencing the gift of time and are the ones that are there for us.
Yes, we owe them. We owe them a debt of gratitude.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. And so I do think about them, and, you know, hold so much appreciation and positive thoughts and energy and prayers for them that they will come through this unscathed. So
I hope so. I have that hope as well.
Yeah. So with that said, I really appreciate everyone who has taken time to listen to us. I hope that you guys are doing well. Stay well, be well. And then we will see you guys soon. We'll be talking with y'all soon. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you all.
Yes, we do. And we'll see you next time.